One. What's up, everybody? We're live from the 2019 National in Rosemont, and we're joined by Tim Carroll from timcarrollart.com. Tim, what's going down, man?
Hey, this is a collector's paradise.
It is, man.
Amazing.
You had a chance to walk the floor and see some cards yet?
Not as much as I want to, not yet, but I definitely plan to get out and about a little bit more this year than I have in previous Nationals, because that's the one part I always regret, is not taking the time to walk a little bit more.
Yeah.
And talking to more people at their booths.
Absolutely. Is there something in particular that was on the wish list before you got here? Say, I'm going to go look and try to find that.
Not really.
Not really.
Maybe a centered 1958 Topps Jim Brown.
Nice. Yeah.
Low end. Nothing too expensive.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things can get a little pricey. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Definitely. So if you guys don't know, Tim Carroll has the awesome big old cards that he takes pieces of cards and makes these just amazing, phenomenal art. His Sandy Koufax is in the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is the Sandy Koufax rookie card. There's some amazing stuff. I want to buy the Shohei Ohtani, so I'm, you know, thinking about getting that if it's still available.
Absolutely, it is.
And talk to us about, like, when you started and what, you know, how did you come up with the idea to make these amazing pieces?
Okay, so back in 2009, my wife and I were educators. She was teaching at a science conference in New Orleans.
Okay.
And I went with her, and we were taking just a walk through the French Quarter, seeing all the different types of art galleries, mm-hmm. and the things that are going on. So much art in various forms. There was body painting, sculptures, the voodoo, everything that was going along with New Orleans. And it started raining. We picked up a magazine inside of a 7-Eleven on the way back to the hotel, and I saw a little blurb about the 100th anniversary of the Honus Wagner, mm-hmm. T206. So I was like, wouldn't it be cool to do like an art piece of the Honus Wagner? But I just don't want to do a painting.
Yeah.
I said, wouldn't it be cool if I could take all those cards in my closet and trade them for a Wagner? And she said, why don't you give it a shot? I said, hey, it doesn't matter how many of those commons you have. It's not quantity, it's quality. And so I got home, and maybe a month passed, and I started thinking, let me pull those cards out. And I started seeing, orange and just colors. And at first, I didn't want to cut them. I just kind of overlapped them.
Right.
And then I realized, to make this work, I'm going to have to cut some borders off.
Right, right.
And so once I started cutting the borders, it was game on, because once you make that first snip, it destroys it. So I made the first one, my crude T206 Wagner, and I put it online thinking I'd get a few laughs. And what happened was people started asking for more and more and more. And I realized I could supplement my teaching income, with just doing a little bit of artwork here and there. And then the wait list backed up. And 3 years ago, I decided to start doing it, see what would happen if I tried it full time.
Full time.
And I cut baseball cards for a living.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. So how many pieces have you done now?
Just right around the 170 mark.
Wow.
Ooh, wow. And how many man hours does it take to do one piece?
A portrait will take about 60 to 70 hours.
Okay.
And then when you start talking about something more full body, like the Ohtani, where it's knees up, mm-hmm. Smaller faces, takes a lot more time. Busy backgrounds when there's fans in the stands, extra players. What you have to remember is that every single thing on it is cut cards. No embellishing, no paint, no markers, no pens. So every single detail, the eyebrows, no matter how small, every bit of it's cut cards. So the smaller the face, the more time it takes. Some of those pieces can take, I think the longest I've spent is on the game called Rockwell tribute piece.
Okay.
And it was over 300 hours.
And I got a question. When you do it, is it, when you put the canvas down, do you put adhesive on the bottom and you stick it to adhesive, or do you lacquer it after the fact?
No, I everything is an industrial strength glue that I use, a glue stick, and I use that on that piece by piece, glue piece, glue piece.
So you glue it, and then you're all, I made a mistake. I gotta pull that one out.
There's a lot of that goes on. I have a couple of pieces at home that have little sections that have been ripped away. I step back and look at it, and that's not right. Redo it.
Yep. So Yeah, so what was, I mean, was there, I already asked you about your inspiration, but if there was one that you could keep forever, was there one that's like kind of near and dear to your heart?
That Rockwell piece.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I created that one, I mean, I put, again, over 300 hours of my life went into that piece. So when I hung it above my my desk in my room, I was thinking that's going to be my piece.
Yeah.
And then that one client came along that changed my mind.
Right, right, you're right. There's a price for everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you decide to pick out the cards? Do you kind of like catalog the colors you need and then you kind of go from there and get commons?
It's a little bit of both. I have about 450,000 commons inside my garage studio and they're on like industrial racks. And I have them in 5,000 count boxes, sorted by set. But there are times when I go, I know certain sets have specific portraits, lighter skin tones, darker skin tones. So I'll have boxes pulled off the side that I have labeled as faces. Others that are red jerseys, blue jerseys.
Amazing.
It makes it a little bit easier to whenever I'm working. And I work on several pieces at once. So it makes it a lot easier just to go to those boxes. And if I have two cards that I'm working on that have red jerseys, I'll work on them both at the same time.
Nice.
And how do you go about acquiring the commons?
Started out with just about 20,000 that I had from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Once I started doing the work online, these guys out here are tremendous.
Right.
They started letting me know, I have commons. I would love for my commons to be a part of this. I'll
Absolutely.
Ship them to you. And so I have some of my commons that are on the top shelf of those racks are still in the postal service boxes, and I'll go through and pull what I need out of those at times.
And that's that's a great thing to know. So you'll accept donations of commons?
Not anymore.
Okay, okay.
He's loaded.
Well, that's the way it started. And a card shop dealer, former card shop owner, decided to go ahead and give me what was left in his bag. And I was thinking he had maybe 50,000. No, he had about 260,000 cards.
Oh, yeah.
Cards. So the bulk of my cards came from, you know, one guy.
You'll be running out of space. You wouldn't be able to work. You have so many cards.
Exactly.
So, and just what size? Are they all the same size that you go with, or everything's kind of different sizes?
I try to keep it within around a 22 by 28.
Okay.
But at the same time, I want to keep it in proportion with an actual card, so I will, you know, do the math to work them up to scale. Tobacco cards will obviously be slender but taller, whereas the Gaudi cards from the 30s will be wider and shorter,
right?
More
right.
of a square. So I try to keep everything up to scale with what the original card was.
Now with the Shohei Ohtani, there was an autograph on there. Was that your first? Well, you had the Koufax that had the facsimile auto. How hard is that to get an auto? I mean, it seems like it'd be a lot of intricate cutting, right?
It is a lot of, there's a lot of cussing involved.
Yeah.
that's one of those times where there's a lot of ripping up and doing it again.
Right. And how far have you gotten where you went like, can't use this?
93 SP Jeter.
Yeah.
60% done. Trash.
Yeah. Just looking at it, you're like, I can't do that one.
Yeah. Well, I can do it. It was one of
those I can't use this one I'm doing, right?
Right. It was one of those that it was so far gone, it was easier just to scrap it and start over. And that's one of those full body pieces, and to try to fake out the full without using actual full
right.
in the back to make it look right. It's a challenge.
Definitely.
It's fun. But I'm gonna make sure that I get it right.
Right.
I'm not gonna put something out there that if someone sees my work for the first time, I want them to know that's the kind of quality they'd be getting.
Now, do you consider yourself kind of like a perfectionist? Like are the groceries in your cabinet all kind of labels out or anything like that? No, not like that.
No. And the mistake is, people make the mistake of believing that I'm some sort of really patient guy too. I'm not. I was a school teacher for a while, so I had my patience in my classroom. But you sit in a car with me and drive down the road, you'll know that I'm the least patient. No,
get out of my way.
No, yeah, I'm that guy.
Well, that probably helps that you mentioned before that you're working on multiple things at the same time.
Right.
So if you're like, I'm bored with that one, I get to switch gears and work on this one, right?
So yeah, I'm super ADHD, so I have to bounce back and forth.
Bounce back and forth. So now Tops has got you doing the Mike Trout Living set, right?
Not Tops. No, that's Cito, the Miami Cito.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
She does all the Tops Living. She is amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm recreating the Tops Mike Trout, the Tops Living piece. It's for a client, but it's kind of a tribute to what she's being. I mean, she's incredible. Yeah. The way she's pumping out those pieces, it's pretty special.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, you know, the artists that go along, everyone, you know, kind of respects each other.
Yeah.
And what their own personal things, what they do. So she's amazing.
And now the Sandy Koufax piece that's in the Hall of Fame, how was that? Did you get a phone call? I mean, what was that feeling to say, like, man, my art is going to be in the Hall of Fame?
That's... Email back in January, and it was a... look at the computer, step back, look again. Woo! You know? That's exactly the way it was. It went down just like that. And then I'm calling my wife in, read this. Does this say what I think? Is this some sort of scam?
Let's see. Yeah, is this a spoof email?
Where is this from?
Yeah.
And so when it's from the .org, email address, and you do the research real quick to see if this is legit.
Right.
That was a crazy feeling, and then sending the message back to say, absolutely, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Tell me what I do next.
Yeah. How do I get it to you? Yeah. Right. That's awesome. So where I haven't been to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's one of my bucket list things. Is it where is it at in the is it in the Sandy Koufax area? Is it a Dodger area or?
There's a new wing that opened up. It's a permanent wing that opened up in May. It's called Shoebox Treasures.
Oh, sweet.
So it's nothing but baseball card and baseball card related stuff.
Wow.
They have a bicycle on the wall where kids can go by and see what it was like to spin the wheel.
Very cool. Very cool.
They have the 10 holy grails of card collecting, the Wagner, the Mantle, some other high-end cards. They also have some other artists that have some pieces on the wall as well, off on this one section of what artists, that have been inspired by cards. Gummy Arts, I Draw Baseball Cards.
Okay.
I'm not sure, I can't remember their names, but they that's their handles they go by on social media, and they put some really cool stuff. Baseball Card Vandals.
That's awesome. That's right. Funny stuff.
So that stuff is on the wall there with it.
Now, I noticed you got the fingers wrapped up. Is that one because you're going to work? That's kind of makes it easier for you to grab things.
Yeah,
nice,
yeah.
Nice. And, I was on your Twitter, and I wanted to know, ask a question of why should people listen to Kingfish Ingram?
Back in, when I'm originally from Mississippi, I'm a Delta Blues fan. And there's a small little juke joint in Tupelo, Mississippi called the Blue Canoe, and Kingfish is just spectacular. First and foremost, he's so humble and so talented.
Yeah.
And
he looked like a young guy, right?
Yeah. He started playing when he was, I think I saw him when he was 16 there performing. And he's just now getting, of age to be able to travel and as an adult, and he's spectacular.
Nice. Is that your main choice of music is blues?
Yeah, I love the blues.
Nice.
Is he a guitar player?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, he's a guitar. We grew up playing music too, so I always appreciate seeing new artists and finding out about that kind of stuff. So, well, we won't take any much more of your time. Tell people where they can find you on Twitter. I know it's timcarrollart.com, and then where can they find you on social media?
It's all my social media is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's at timcarrollart. Carol spelled with two R's and two L's.
Yep, and I highly advise everybody to go check out the website and just see these like mind-blowing pieces. And I always find myself zooming in to find out what kind of cards you use. Like, oh, there's Ginter backs right there. Seems like you use Ginter backs on a couple of them because they're like plain, so it makes it pop.
They have this that little off-white to them that really works.
Yeah. So, us, as we break cases, hundreds of cases a week, so you get to see, oh, that's from that. That's from that. Right. So it's very cool to kind of zoom in. So I highly suggest checking out the website, finding a piece you like, and hitting them up. So it's amazing stuff. So
absolutely.
We appreciate you coming by, man, and doing the pod with us.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And good luck and have fun at the National. Hopefully you find a Jim Brown.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.